The Cowboys hire a new head coach. The Pro Bowl is happening this weekend, and we continue our coverage of Super Bowl 59 between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm Adam Wright. You're listening to the Fumblerooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumblerooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So we have a great show planned for you tonight, and we are going to go over some more of sort of our more of our coverage of Super Bowl 59. So obviously it's part two in the last 3 years of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Same quarterbacks, same head coaches. Literally most of the same things. And we're going to do this is the second time we've also covered it, by the way. The show did exist back then. So literally the second time we are covering the exact same Super Bowl matchup. Still a pretty good matchup, but I think just this is not the matchup that we wanted to see. And what we did last year was we compared positions. And what we compared was we started with the defensive side of the ball on one episode, and then we moved on to the offensive side. We're doing that exact same thing this year. So we're going for linebackers to start, interior defensive line, edge rushers, and then the secondary. But first, let's talk about the Cowboys, who have now promoted offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer to become their next head coach. And this is so typical of the Cowboys, because the last guy they had was Mike McCarthy, about the most milquetoast head coach that you could possibly find, a guy who maybe wasn't a terrible head coach, wasn't a guy who would get in the way of your team's talent to be a competitive team and win games. You made the playoffs a few times with him. The Green Bay Packers did the exact same thing with him. In fact, they won one Super Bowl with him. And before that, they had Jason Garrett, a guy who did not win any Super Bowls anywhere. But he did help them be competitive a couple times. And he did it with two different quarterbacks. So it was with Tony Romo before, and then it went on to Dak Prescott. Now we have Brian Schottenheimer, who has been promoted from within the organization. The Cowboys decided to move on from Mike McCarthy after Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel had pretty much moved on to their spots. They didn't even look anywhere else. And they got rid of Mike McCarthy a little bit late. They said they were going to keep him around, and then they went back on that. And Liam Cohen wouldn't interview for you. Joe Brady decided to stay with the Bills. So what did you do? You stuck with Brian Schottenheimer. And I'm seeing a little bit – I mean, we've been talking about this a lot already, but I'm seeing a trend that just continues with Jerry Jones, where he doesn't want to bring in a guy who is 100% competent, who would really just take their coaching staff to a different level. They've been winning games off talent. Let's face it. They went 12-5 three straight years from 2021 through 2023 because of talent, not because of coaching. And coaching ultimately sank them each and every year. Their execution in big games was not good. And it does remain to be seen whether Dak Prescott can bring a team over the hump and win a Super Bowl. But coaching, bad coaching, just even suspect coaching, is not going to help you here. And when you promote a guy from within an administration that for 25 straight years has not been to an NFC championship, that tells me you're just satisfied with what you're getting and are just continuing to recycle that in and out, because you don't want to change. It seems like Jerry Jones just wants to run the show. He wants to continue to keep his grubby fingers inside the product that's on the field. He doesn't want to step back and let other guys do their jobs. He wants yes men. And that's what it feels Brian Schottenheimer is. Will they become competitive again? I bet they will. They have a lot of good talent. A lot of it was injured. But the problem that I have is that they won't address the obvious problem, which is that coaching has not been there for the last 25 years. For a quarter century, they've had the same issue, and Jerry Jones has been fine with just dealing with that issue. And until then, they're going to remain being a mediocre franchise, which sucks, because this franchise, even since they've stopped going to NFC championships and winning Super Bowls, they've had a lot of good talent. There's a lot of things to like within that Cowboys organization. They're very, very good at drafting. So much so that their free agency class is basically their draft class. They don't sign many guys out of free agency, but they draft extremely well, which is good, but that's another way. So I'll give you one last narrative before I hand it off to you, CJ. Another way that Jerry Jones likes to kind of do things himself is he doesn't like to accept outside help, not just from a coaching perspective. They won't accept it in free agency either. They want their guys that they draft and to take credit for their incredible drafting, which I agree. It's great drafting. But you have to accept some outside help. You just have to. And they won't do that. They won't fill the rest of their holes with free agency. And here's a couple of the issues that I'm highlighting there. But CJ, your thoughts?
I tell you, man, just the Cowboys. There's so much to unpack. Like, I don't know where to start. So for starters, this whole mindset of nobody gets to outshine Jerry. No, they don't want any outside help, you know, especially not from free agents. You know, like, you know, how you said their free agent class is their draft class. All of that, both of those problems where they have to do it themselves, they're too prideful to accept help. That comes from Jerry, obviously. That has been just this horrid, just one-track view that has engulfed their entire organization. And you know what the thing is? It wasn't always that way. They were known for swinging trades, grabbing free agents, even when Jerry was initially owner. But that didn't change until Jerry Jones became the GM. In fact, Jerry Jones, you know, he does have some rings with the Cowboys, but I'm going to warn you this right now. Not one of the Cowboys Super Bowls came when Jerry Jones was the GM. When the Cowboys were winning, and frankly, they were a much better organization, better run, just better culture, better everything when Jerry Jones controlled the purse strings and he just knew his role and he was just there to sign checks. You know, and occasionally be funny to the media. That was what he did. But the ego just took over. That's what the Cowboys are. They're an ego-driven organization. And Jerry Jones couldn't stand playing second fiddle to Tom Landry. He couldn't stand playing second fiddle to Jimmy Johnson. And now here we are. And Brian Schottenheimer is just another link in the BS chain that is Jerry Jones' decisions as GM. So if you want to look at Brian Schottenheimer's record as a coach, I would first say that his first stint as OC was with the New York Jets from 2006 to 2011, you know, when they had Sanchez. And look, those Jets teams were good, but it's not like, you know, they were known for defense or anything. And their offense was just kind of okay. He was also the OC with the St. Louis Rams. You know, obviously, when they're back St. Louis, they're the LA Rams now. Under Mr. 8-8 himself, Jeff Fisher. So already we're not seeing anything good. Then he bounced around for a bit. You know, he was the QB coach in Indy for 2016, 2017. You know, when we watched Andrew Luck die, that was something. He was OC in Seattle from 2018 to 2020, you know, towards the tail end of their good days. And, yeah, then he was a coaching analyst for Dallas in 2022. OC for the Cowboys through 2023 and 2024. And now he's the Cowboys head coach. And I would like to point out one thing. When he was an OC, I can speak for Seattle and Dallas, can't speak for the Jets. But he was never the play caller. He never called plays. So not only does he not have play calling experience, you're just Jerry Jones, and you're just going to say, here's the keys to the franchise because I'm a timid, senile old man who just can't admit that he's done anything wrong. And you know what the secret worst part of all of this is, dear viewer? This wasn't even like the worst route they could go down. Some other names that were thrown around were Leslie Frazier, the former Bills defensive coordinator, who, you know, got canned because he's terrible. Head coach of the Colorado Golden Buffaloes, Deion Sanders, who was a pretty sweet thing going on there in the college realm, so I don't know why you would. And at one point, former tight end and analyst, Jason Witten.
Yeah,
by the way, Cowboys fans, those were your other options. So the fact that Brian Schottenheimer was quite literally your best option is just damning. And don't get me wrong, they're not going to be a bad team, not by any stretch of the imagination, because, you know, talent will always bail them out. It's just, you're not going to win any Super Bowls. It's over. It's so over for you Cowboys fans. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's just same old stuff. So it's getting to that point where you want to act like you're surprised, but when they make moves like this, it's, you can see the pattern. And you can see it not just in coaching, as I mentioned, but also in free agency. They don't do anything anymore. They just love drafting their guys, which they're fantastic at because they watch their college football. They analyze the game very well on the college level, and they know who's going to play well on the NFL level. But when it comes to free agency, they just don't want to do it. They could have gotten Derrick Henry and things would have been much better. They didn't do that. So, all right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to talk about the Pro Bowl for the fourth year in a row in pretty much the same light, because there's really not much to talk about when it comes to saying anything remotely positive about it. And it says a lot that it's probably the worst product out of the four main sports when it comes to their all-star event. The Pro Bowl is just not there. And we're going to talk about that next. This is the Fumbleroski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumbleroski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting, Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros. So we've talked plenty about how the Pro Bowl kind of sucks, and I want to give a couple more reasons for it. One, the most notable being the fact that it's literally the game itself is one thing. But what people love to see is, did their player make it there? Were they nominated to be a Pro Bowler? That's something that a lot of people really like. But the problem is it's turned into a joke. And the reason for that is because the replacements that they add right before the game are an insult to the sport, because it's basically turned into whoever is available on that Sunday. That's no secret. Back when Tyler Huntley took over for Lamar Jackson in the latter half of the 2022 NFL season, he was given the nod to be a Pro Bowl replacement. Mitch Trubisky, his rookie year, became a Pro Bowler. Mac Jones, his rookie year, was a Pro Bowler. You want to know who's next in line in this list of absolute clowns? this year. Now, I love Drake May to death, but this guy should not be a Pro Bowler this year. We like Drake May for the abilities that he showed this season, not for the stats that he put up or the performances that he put up. We like him because we've seen a few dimes that he threw, and know that if this guy just had some more time to throw, better coaching staff, and some better targets, because they have nothing around him, then we'd be like, ooh, this kid could be good like next year if they develop the whole team around him, because he has nothing. What we have right now, Drake May, 15 touchdowns and 10 picks. That's seriously a guy who he added to the Pro Bowl roster. The other guy they added, another quarterback, was Russell Wilson. Wilson, he helped the Steelers make the playoffs, but he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. Another guy who made the Pro Bowl, guy by the name of Jameis Winston in 2015. That guy shouldn't be in the Pro Bowl either. You see how there's kind of a bit of – these guys are all last-minute additions to the Pro Bowl roster. And when you look at Pro Football Reference, which we all do, to see kind of how a player did throughout the course of their season, you look at that star next to that one season. When you're looking at league history, and you're going, oh, he had a good year that year. But when you look at Tyler Huntley, you look at Mac Jones or Drake May or Jameis Winston, Mitch Trubisky, these are all guys who did not have that good of seasons. And they're being lauded as such, which is something that I just don't like. I love Drake May to death. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback in this league. He isn't one now. He's not there yet. The fact that he was given a Pro Bowl nod is an insult to the Pro Bowl and the entire sport. I don't know a sport. I just don't know a sport where you have such jokes make it in to your league's All-Star game. CJ. Unmute yourself. Come on. All right. Okay. But this is, I don't know if it's.
All right, wait, we're good. I'm good. Sorry. Sometimes every so often, like, my screen will just kind of conk out, and it literally, like, went black. Like, everything's going on in the background, but I can still hear you. Sorry.
You're good.
So basically, oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm going to open with what I say every year about the Pro Bowl. It's a popularity contest that we already know. A big name could have a career worst year and still be probably like first team in the Pro Bowl just because, you know, like just because of the name value alone. And it gets really bad on the defensive side of the ball where they definitely go by name and not stats, not performance. And the Pro Bowl in and of itself, I think, rewards players for just being flashy, for, you know, for talking trash, for, you know, for basically having a big personality, where, you know, it awards players for having, I'm trying to think of this, awards players whose personality doesn't match their play, you know? So there's that. The alternates, though, it's getting bad. Like, look, you know, I love Drake May. I mean, obviously, you know, if you know football, you do too, and you will probably admit that, come on, he totally got the short end of the stick, probably the worst situation any rookie QB could have ended up in. And despite that, despite the fact that I think he's good and I think he might have a bright future, I don't think he should be a Pro Bowler. You know, like I said, as much as I like him. I mean, I don't know anybody who does. Like, I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning and just says, you know what? Drake May would be a great Pro Bowler, except for that one, like, Drake May lover page on Instagram. You know the one. If you're listening to a sports podcast, chances are you know Drake May lover. We all do. But, it's so weird. As much as I like him, it's so just undeserved, I guess is the word I'm looking for here. And, you know, Mitch Trubisky made it actually in his second year. That was bizarre. But still, the worst one, Drake May isn't even like the most egregious example. In my eyes, the worst example will always, for now, like first, last, and always, that example will be Tyler Huntley.
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I don't know how he got in. And look, I know my nickname for him, or a nickname that I've heard that I also use for him is, I didn't come up with it, was I can't believe it's not Lamar, because, you know, basically they had the same play style, just with vastly different results. But come on, that's no reason for him to make the there's no reason for him to make the Pro Bowl. Come on.
Yeah,
and so- continue.
Sorry to cut you off. As far as quickly, because I want to move fast with the rest of this segment, what would you say is one alternative? How can we fix the Pro Bowl and make it good? Like, I know the replacements is one easy one. I feel like they should just leave the voting in the hands of some officials like they do for how AP does their honors awards. Have it be something like that. That's flawed, but not nearly as flawed as the Pro Bowl. What I want to know is, how do we fix the way that the All-Star sport is played?
Well, beyond that, the thing is, players, they don't care, especially not in the NFL. Like, I mean, at this point, I think it's pretty well known that the players are indifferent towards it at best. It's like, hey, you know, free vacation. That's how they see it. And I can't blame them. But honestly, like I've said this last year, I'm going to keep saying it, move it overseas, because the NFL wants to expand the game overseas. The players want to make it a good first impression. And yeah, like if you want them to care, move it overseas, move it to different locations. You know, give the players like a reason to care. Also, for some of the games, because, you know, it's not really the Pro Bowl anymore. There's a flag football game, but now it's, you know, the whole Pro Bowl games thing. Please, for the love of God, bring back the throwing competition where they dip the nose of the football in chalk and just have the quarterbacks just like rip it down the field. That was good. Bring it back. Also, bring back kick-tack-toe. I like that one. That was funny.
That was cool. How about a tournament instead of a game? Like, let's say you do like a 5-on-5, and then you let's say however many divisions there are, maybe you do 6 captains, and then you draft 5, each one drafts 5 players. How about that?
I could see it.
It's just an idea. Or maybe this would have to change the way Pro Bowl voting is done. But let's say there's a tournament of all the different teams, and it's just that each one gets 5 players. And that kind of turns into sort of a Pro Bowl tournament. And obviously, 2 of the teams wouldn't be there. Probably 4 of them, because I don't think anybody would. It's just an idea. But I think the idea of a potential tournament where captains pick players and they get to pick their friends. When you pick your friends, I mean, think about when you were a kid, you know, doing pickup basketball, some backyard football. You pick your friends to play with, and suddenly you're more motivated to do well because you're like, man, this team that I just drafted, we're going to blow doors. Just a possibility.
Oh, by the way, we do have some football news real quick.
Yes.
The New York Jets have hired Lions passing game coordinator Tanner Engstrand as their new OC. And the Buccaneers are promoting their pass game coordinator. I don't remember his first name, last name, like Grizzard, as their new OC as well. So 2 OC spots just filled. And the Lions continue to get picked apart.
Interesting. Both will probably still be good. As long as you have the head coach, I feel like a lot of it is very much, you have a lot of talent there. So Maybe they won't be as good depending on how the coordinators are, but we'll see. All right. We're going to move on to our Super Bowl coverage, but comparing each position group on defense. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. All right, we are on to our Super Bowl coverage for this Friday episode. We are 2 weeks, just over a week away from the coveted game. Eagles versus the Chiefs, the linebacking core. This one, I'm going to give a slight edge to the Chiefs with their overall off-ball linebackers, but CJ, what do you think?
I'm probably leaning towards, the more I think about it, when you just solely off-ball, the best off-ball linebacker between the two, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Zach Bond, is it not?
Definitely.
I mean, he's clearly the best. He's better than Nick Bolton. He's better than Chenal. But the thing is, I'm actually going to go with the Chiefs because he's good, right? But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, he's still one guy. And that's really what it comes down to for me, because the Chiefs, you have Nick Bolton. Even though I think he's past his prime, you still have Drew Tranquil. And on top of that, who could forget, you also have a Leo Chenal, who I think he's a tad bit overrated by the Chiefs fan base, but that doesn't mean he's not good.
Yeah.
So that, and honestly, I would lean towards Philly if N'Kobe Dean was still healthy, but he's not. So I think it's the Chiefs, even though Bond is better than literally all of them.
Yeah. N'Kobe Dean was a big one for me. Just because a lot of the Eagles linebackers they do have are guys who end up being edge rushers anyways. So they line them up outside, so it doesn't really, they're not really off-ball linebackers. So as far as that goes, the Chiefs get the edge on that. So moving on to the next position, and it's worth noting that both of these teams have incredible defenses, and this is actually, in totality, this is very close. The Chiefs had arguably the best defense in the league last year, and it helped them to win a Super Bowl during the game itself. They were able to stop one of the better sets of skill position players in the league, in the San Francisco 49ers. But interior defensive line, this was probably the closest one we have, because as far as run defense goes, they're dead even. If you look at the rankings and you look at the overall numbers, they're right there, right next to each other. Their run defense is incredible, both of them. One of them is the Chiefs have Chris Jones. The Eagles have Jalen Carter. So it's really close, but I think I'm going to lean the Eagles.
You know, I'm actually going to have to lean the Chiefs, because this is like the ultimate battle between flash versus substance. Because Philly, they have a lot of flash up front. You know, you got Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis. And the Chiefs, I'm not going to lie, it's one guy, but the results speak for themselves. It's close, but Kansas City is better. And feel like they're eighth, even though they're just one guy, that's a one-man wrecking crew in Chris Jones. Even though he's having a down year, he's not rushing the passer as much, but he's still plugging the gaps. He's stopping the run. And because of that, other guys like Mike Dana and Derek Nnadi now are ranked 8th in the league in run defense, Philly's 10th. So I'm going to have to lean towards Kansas City. Although, to be fair, it's very flimsy. It's one guy. If they lose, if something, God forbid, something happens and they lose Chris Jones for the game, oh, it's going to be ugly.
All right. And they also use, Chris Jones has also been almost an edge rusher who is on the interior. He's a guy who can break through and get to the quarterback. So it's very, very different. As far as the modern game, as far as the modern game goes, edge rushers. So the overall pass rush, at least coming from the edge, I have to give a slight edge to the Eagles. The Chiefs still have a good pass rush, but it's not nearly as good as it once was. Last year, they led the league in sacks. This year, not so much. Yeah, I have to give the edge to the Eagles here. They have so many guys who can get up, they can break through. The Chiefs, they have a couple guys, but it's not nearly the same as far as the Eagles go.
Yeah, I got to go Philly. I mean, I know you're giving them a slight edge, but I would admit Philly is a little more than a slight edge on that. You know, guys like Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat, even Jalen Carter in the interior, just the pass rush. Philly has one of the best pass rushes in the league, and the Chiefs just don't. Now, the Chiefs, they don't really get a lot of pressure unless they blitz. And, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is one of the biggest blitzers in the league. Some would say over-reliant. But the thing is, Philly doesn't need to blitz to get to you. They just have the talent. They have the horses, and they've beaten some of the better lines in this league. I think Philly gets, especially, like I said, guys like Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat on both sides. These aren't power rushers. The Philly defense has speed rushers. You know, they don't rely on just brute strength. They utilize swim moves. They utilize the spin moves at the line where they're – that's what makes them dangerous, that they're just too fast up front. And you're usually bigger, slower O-linemen have a tough time blocking. That's why, once again, I'm giving it to Philly. The numbers and the flash, they got them both. The Chiefs' pass rush really doesn't stack up.
The only reason it's close is because the only thing that the Chiefs actually have, or the Eagles actually have them in, is sacks. Philadelphia is 13th in sacks. Kansas City's 18th. So they're both somewhat middle of the pack. But as far as tackles for loss go, the Eagles are 21st. The Chiefs are 11th. As far as quarterback hits go, the Eagles are 19th. The Chiefs are 5th. So the Eagles have the ability to finish plays. They can get the sack. The Chiefs have demonstrated a slightly better ability to get there more often. So just something to look out for. But I still give it to the Eagles because the Eagles, they're able to finish. All right. Last one, we have the secondary. And this is one that I don't believe is close. Eagles by a mile, they've allowed the least amount of yards in the league as far as passing goes. It's not close. They're number one in yards allowed as far as allowing the least amount. And the Chiefs are kind of middle of the pack. They have not been the same since losing Legarius Sneed. I know Sneed has had his own struggles since he left for the Tennessee Titans, but his production from when he was on the Chiefs, they are missing that. And it's literally just the Trent McDuffie show. As far as the Eagles go, they have a great mix of veterans and rookies. Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell have been awesome in their rookie years. And Darius Slay is still kicking around and playing pretty good ball. As far as as far as passing defense goes, I'm going to go the Eagles, and it ain't close.
No, no, it's not close at all, is it? Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Philly actually have, like, the best passing defense in the entire league? Like, aren't they, like, literally ranked number one?
That's what I said, yes.
Yeah, so just on that argument alone, Kansas City really just doesn't stack up, like,
Chiefs are 18 at all.
Yeah.
Eagles are.
And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not disparaging the skill positions that they do have, you know, with guys like Trent McDuffie and all them. But the thing is, he's one guy. And he's not like a, and it's not like a Jordan Davis situation where, you know, where it's, I mean, not a Jordan Davis, like a Chris Jones situation where he's a one man wrecking crew. It's like he's a good corner, but he's not an explosive corner, you know? He doesn't really take the ball away. He doesn't really erase guys. I mean, he's good, but come on. But, and on the other side, you know, you got like Chamari Connor and Jalen Watson. They're okay. But for Philly, now look, I've said we need to pump the brakes on the rookies. I know Quinyon Mitchell calls them dogs. I've always said they're pups. You know, you got to earn your stripes. But, oh, if you win this game as a rookie, then Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you are solidified dog status. And either way, I just think both of them, with a veteran Darius Slay and Reed Blankenship, it's Philly. And not just through names, it's also, like you said, through production. There's such a big gap. There's probably the biggest gap between two positions, like two position groups between the two teams, except maybe wide receiver. We'll get to that next episode. But yeah, I'm going Philly.
Yeah. As far as completion percentage allowed, the Eagles are sixth, have allowed the sixth lowest. The Kansas City Chiefs are 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both of these teams. So, overall, let's stack all of this up. Both of these teams have top 10 scoring defenses. Both of these teams have very good defenses. They're overall, we're basically splitting hairs at this point on which defense is better. I do have to go the Eagles overall. Better edge rushing. They can get to the quarterback a lot easier. And they have a good secondary. Those two factors usually help a lot. So I have to go the Eagles on defense overall.
Yeah, as a whole, I'm also going to go with Philly. Because between linebackers and edge rushers, those are close. And I mean scary close. I, you know, like it's basically a coin flip, right? And, you know, like I said, at least for defensive tackles, you know, the interior, you could probably convince me to go either way. I think Philly does have a bit more of an advantage with Kansas City because Kansas City is a good technical team, but Philly actually gets it done. Philly finishes plays, Kansas City doesn't. They're just not explosive.
And I'd like to point out, as far as scoring defenses, they are actually both top five. And the Eagles are second. The Chiefs are fourth.
And look, don't get me wrong, like, they're both good defenses, but the reason I go with Eagles, like I said, it's been pretty close thus far. Like, you go either way for two. Pass rush definitely tilts a little more towards Philly, but it's the back four, just the disparity between the Chiefs' back four and the Eagles' back four leads me to go with Philly.
Yeah, and again, these are both really good defenses, so we're going to see – it's probably going to come down to the offense, and the offense is going to be interesting because they both have very different styles. The Chiefs have been interesting too, so we're going to get to that in depth next week on Tuesday. But any other thoughts before we end the show here?
Yeah, both posts for Tanner Engstrand and Josh Grizzard are up on the podcast, so go like them or don't. It's really up to you, but I'm just saying you should.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our Super Bowl coverage as the week goes on with our Tuesday episode, going over the offense and a couple other Super Bowl storylines. Maybe we'll even get into some Pro Bowl, some Pro Bowl recap if anything interesting happens. Doubt it. Friday, we're going to get into another episode of Super Bowl prep. Saturday, our annual Super Bowl special. Do it every year. I believe this is our fifth at this point, right?
I think so. I've been here for like four. So this would be your fifth.
Yeah. So we always do a Super Bowl special. It won't be any different this season. So definitely make sure you tune in for that. In the meantime, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.